Hello, Mr. Pound. How are you?
Good, good. God, I was waiting. I had to say all sorts of outrageous things to get you to call.
No, well, and we're glad you did, and we're glad we called. Well, you are not alone in your opinions regarding the National Hockey League's decision about not going to the Olympics, and we shouldn't necessarily be surprised that you've taken your stance, but take a minute or two here and tell us exactly why you feel that the NHL blew it by deciding not to go to the Winter Games.
Well, I think ultimately they have sort of betrayed their fan base, their global fan base, and they've betrayed the players that would like to have this unique chance to represent their country in the Olympics. And I think that ultimately translates into bad business because, you know, there's a price for ignoring your players and your fans, and they've got to think about that. I don't think they have.
You and I are old enough to remember the many, many years when Canada didn't send a team to the Olympic Games. But also when we sent a bunch of not the best players in days when professional players were not allowed to go. And
North American professional players were not allowed to go.
Right, yeah.
Europeans were.
Well said. Yes, that is accurate. So we are not exactly turning back the clock on this. We are not going to be sending amateur players, young players. We're going to be sending less than the best players, probably a lot of American Hockey League players, at least from the U.S. and Canadian teams. Would you have gone, given the NHL stance, would you have gone this route? Or do you like the idea, as I do, of perhaps turning the World Junior Championships into the Olympics?
Hey, well, I mean, that's a thought. It's kind of the way soccer.
Yes. 23 and under, I think it is.
Yeah. So you're not getting the best, and maybe that's not the end of the world. But certainly the current philosophy has been to say, look, let's make it possible for the best players in the world, whether they're amateur or professional, to take part in the Olympics, and they're, you know, the Olympics will be the best competition. I would probably go the other way if I were king for a day, and I would go to the soccer folks and say, guys, either give us your best or you explain to your worldwide constituency why there will be no soccer in the Olympics.
Shocking news from you. I wouldn't expect that hard-ass approach. Joey, jump in.
So, Dick, the question is here, from and taking being the devil's advocate, on the NHL side, where you're not allowed to use any of the footage and the highlights, and you're not allowed to monetize any of it, speak to that. I mean, the NHL obviously has their reasons, and the players want to go. We know Eric Carlson said he wanted to go. Sidney Crosby, who, you know, turned 30, I believe, yesterday, doesn't say boo if he had a mouthful of it. Famously has said that he was disappointed. Connor McDavid said the same thing. Alex Ovechkin has said the same thing. But they're players. They're not the league. They're not worried about intellectual property. They're not worried about being able, you know, the NHL cannot use the assets from the Olympics to promote their sport. So where's the upside other than what you're talking about, that they're going to disappoint their fans globally?
Well, I'm not sure how the discussions went on the IP side of things. My guess is, you know, it might have come across like the Disney organization, that we're far more important than the International Olympic Committee and the Olympic movement. But I'm, you know, to say that you cannot use it at all, I think is wrong. And my guess is that there's a solution for that. It's just it's a question of who owns the footage and what are the conditions of use. And I can, you know, I would have had very little trouble, I think, in saying to Bettman, sure, of course you can use this stuff. But, you know, you use it under conditions that this was shot at the Olympic Games. It's Olympic footage. We're delighted to have you show off your players and so forth in their Olympic uniforms. But this is not an NHL event.
Granted, there's a gray area here, but I mean, when you were the vice president of the IOC, was there a dialogue about opening the vault of footage to organizations like the NHL to allow them to promote, pat themselves on the back, document the things that happened during the Olympics?
No, not at that point. They were there so busy trying to get in that some of these issues didn't even arise. You know, don't forget, they'd been excluded until Nagano.
Yeah.
In 1998, so that wasn't so much the discussion as why are you continuing to discriminate against our players?
Do you think there would be a does this become a pecuniary issue? Would money be at the core of the issue between the NHL and the IOC with regard to rights fees?
I think it's all money. And I think the approach by the NHL scared the IOC, and they could see the potential of a floodgates situation whereby now hockey insists on being paid for its players to come. What about tennis? You know, what about beach volleyball? What about
basketball?
Basketball, yeah. And so at that point, the IOC says, "Whoa, wait a minute! You know, we're delighted to have you here and participating, but you've got to participate on the same basis as everybody else. And if your international federation wants to make some kind of a contribution, that's fine. I think initially we were happy to pay the travel and the insurance or the costs for the players during that period of time, and that's okay." I mean, it's kind of a false issue if you see the difference between the stick swinging in the NHL playoffs and the fact that the minute a Canadian player steps on the ice internationally, the referee has a whistle in his mouth. So you just don't do anything like that. It's one of the reasons that Babcock was so successful in his selection of the Sochi team. He just said, "We are not going to have anybody that fights. So P.K. Subban, we have to take him on the team, but he's not going to get any ice time, because we can't be sure that he isn't going to get a whole bunch of penalties."
About a minute and a half, Joey.
Look, here's the thing. When you say money's at the basis of this, and I'm going to take this point really quickly. Yes, the use of the IP, and the other part of it is the insurance and the cost to get the guys over there. Again, I'm going to go back to the same thing. I know the players want to play. I know that it's in the best interest of hockey globally, but is it in the best interest of the NHL?
Well, I thought it was, and that was sort of the point I was trying to make in the article I get the business side of it, but I think they were overlooking some elements of the business side of it, which is a fan base and establishing a much bigger global footprint through the Olympics than they could possibly do in the NHL. And I didn't say the other thing, because I can't document it, but during the Olympic Games, how many people do you think are going to watch the NHL rather than the Olympic hockey tournament? So,
well, that is an intriguing question.
And are they actually going to lose? Or would they be better off with all these players that they can identify as being NHL players? You know, they're going to have to start fighting with the KHL one of these days for the bragging rights. So I would have thought, from a business perspective, globally, yeah, maybe the 2 week period, you take a little bit of a hit, but globally and in terms of getting your players known, I would have thought it would be great business to be there.
Yeah.
Bad business not to.
Richard, we always enjoy having you on. It was never a dull moment with Dick Pound around. Thank you. Hope you continue to be well, and undoubtedly, you'll say something else, and we'll have you on again.
I look forward to it.